Well, we are in a series of FAQ about our tough questions about our faith. And I'm sure the last 3 weeks we have been blessed to hear about the existence of God. We've also heard about the Word and how relevant the Bible is even now. And we've also heard about the culture and the impact in our lives and how we have to be careful with the culture itself. Right, so the series is going to end today, and I suppose this is one of the toughest one in many ways. the confusion on sexuality, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today, right? Yeah, the topic itself is tough. When you see big crowd, the stomach is normally full of butterflies. So the best way to calm down butterflies is we pray together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time where you've brought us, family of believers, together to hear the truth in your word and to believe in the faith that you've given us and to understand your expectation of us. Today, as the word is being shared, hide me behind the cross. Let every word that comes from my mouth be pleasing to you, be meditating to your word, and be pleasing to your eyes, to your ears. Help us to know what you expect of us. And as we leave the hall, hearing your word, worshiping you and glorifying you, help us to remember the calling that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. 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 So, the topic is confusion on sexuality. It's a tough one. And, you know, it's amazing how the timeliness, I believe this is the Pride Month. So if you see, you know, quite a lot of everywhere you see the colors, even logos are adjusted, the branding is adjusted to reflect the color. Yeah, and if you looked at social media, even in quite a bit of conversations around it. So I think it's good that we ourselves have this conversation at this time and understand how God looks at our sexuality and how it links to our faith. So before we go to the Word of God, there are two slides I want to share with everyone to help us to be on the same page on where it is now. So it used to be LGBT, now it's 2S, LGBTQIA+, plus, and the plus will continue. Yeah, so this is one of the even if you talk of it as a social movement, it's one of those that is growing in acronym, and it's also growing in different things that are being put together. Now, some of you may have social media accounts, and some of it you are asked to define yourself as his, him, or he, she, he, her, he, him, or she, her, and all, in brackets, yeah. I think it's suddenly popped out in LinkedIn sometime back, and I think there's a lot of people who have decided to use that, yeah. The reason for that is the two spirit, yeah. So the two spirit basically means I'm a man, but internally I feel like a woman. So as a result, I go on, you know, he, she, something like that. Interesting, the way things are moving. It used to be physical. Yeah, it's either you're a gay, lesbian, you're a bisexual, you're transgender. It's now even go to the spiritual realm, how you feel inside. How do you identify yourself? And then you also have, in this group, asexual. I didn't know. I had to Google up. Then I actually learned it's people who actually, in a way, don't feel excited about sex. So it's also inside that. And then it continues on. So in a lot of organizations, normally you have a centering point you want to have. So, but you look at the group's diversity here. Sometimes I also don't understand what is actually the central theme of it. It has a lot to do with self-identity. So we'll come to that shortly. Yeah. Now, a little bit of history. The gay movement started in 69, riots in a bar called Stonewall Inn. And if you actually do a bit of a research, you'll find out that in the 60s, most of the gay bar belongs to the mafia. Interesting, huh? And it seems police raid the mafia organization all the time, the bars and all. So it all started with one of those police raids. And then it turned into a protest. And then in 78, the rainbow logo came out. And then if you look at 1990 onwards, it went on a different gear, if you may. Yeah. And if you look at it, what literally happened is that it was actually classified as a disease. And it was removed from a disorder or a disease. And it was considered wrong to treat anyone with homosexuality. You cannot treat them, you cannot unethical to provide for a homosexual that want to change, to become not a homosexual. That's what happened in 1990s. And then it was classified as gender dysphoria instead of disorder. And later on, if you notice, in 2019, WHO removed it from the list, and it goes on. Now, today, in 2020 plus, if you look at the Western standard in psychotherapy, you are supposed to help them accept their gender identity and sexual orientation. It's a completely different swing. So this is the reality that we are in, and it becoming more and more prominent. Yeah, it's becoming part of business. If you don't support the movement, you're considered not a good organization. You need to come out with ways and means to brand them. I think we all heard about the very famous Swatch case. You said, I said, it ended up there, but eventually there is some truth along those lines. So when we look at all this, I think it's good for us to understand what is God's stand when it comes to sexual definitions, if you may. Yeah. So I just want to share from three different angles and anchor it in a lot of it on the Word of God. So I would suggest that where you can, please follow me with your Bibles open, either your digital Bible or your physical Bible. The slides are with the team, and I'm sure they will share it during the LG discussion, this and that, for further discussions. I cannot cover everything in about 30 plus minutes. What I can help us all together is see where the Word of God is and where we need to be a bit cautious and what we can do differently from here. Yeah. So allow me to share first God's design. See, God's design is very simple. Yeah. We, in many ways, sometimes like to complicate God. But God is a very simple person. When he created man, he gave a very simple instruction or simple design purpose. Man and woman unite as one. So if you go through the Word of God, you'll see right after Eve was created in Genesis 2:24, the Lord told both of them, you shall leave your father and mother and hold fast, and you are to hold fast to his wife. Yeah. So he actually gave the command to Adam. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So when he gave that, he didn't say man and man. He didn't say woman and woman. He made it very clear, Lord. Man and woman, right? Now, some may say, this is Old Testament. Jesus came, so there's a New Testament. So the law is no more in effect. But if you look at Mark 10, 6 to 9, Christ reaffirmed this again. And it goes on into Ephesians 5, 31. So the first principle, if you may, in God's design, it's about uniting man and woman. It's never about man and man, woman and woman. It's clear as that. So no matter how we move around the jigsaw puzzle, no matter how we tell the storyline, no matter how we turn around things, the doctrine is clear. Men and women unite as one. Now, if you look at God's law, right? It says in God's law, men and women unite according to his design. And this is repeated many, many times in the Bible, whether it's in the New Testament or whether it's in the Old Testament. So if we look at the Old Testament, it's very clear, it's very precisely written. You should not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. And similarly, it's written in Leviticus 20:13. And when you know, one argument we always hear is, again, this is Old Testament, this is the law. When Christ came, he actually decided to, you know, abolish the laws. But that is, again, not what God said. If you look at the Sermon in the Mountain, Matthew 5, verses 17 to 20, Jesus clearly said that not even a single word of the prophets or the law will be abolished, not even a single iota of the law will be changed. Yeah, that is not his purpose. It will be accomplished. And he accomplished it on the cross. So that is the ultimate sacrifice for us. So when he accomplished it on the cross, that upholds everything that is said by the prophets and the laws. Can I get an amen? Amen. So remember, friends, yeah, God's law is very clear. The problem with us is, like I said, we have a habit of complicating God. And when we complicate God, the truth is sometimes lost. Sometimes the truth can be multidimensionalized to make it fit to our purposes of the time. Yeah? And you know what's some of the concerns that we have to have? When we talk about the Word is available in digital more and more. And we also need to be very careful. The digital source is from where? Yeah? Now, hard copies are a little bit difficult. Once it's printed, it's difficult to change. So, you know, of course, there will be some revisions that take place, this and that. But if you look at the digital copy, it's even easier to hack and change to whatever you want to say in by manipulating the Word of God. So I think the cautiousness needs to be there when we actually look at the Word of God and how we define on it. Now, the third one, God's judgment. The most clearest on sexual sins is in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? It was very clear when we read Genesis 19. Even the angels, the guys in Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to have a sinful relationship, sexual relationship with these angels. Yeah, it's in the Bible. And the town was turned into flames. It turned into piles of sulfur. Kingdom inheritance. If you look at Paul lists down a lot of sins. And inside there, the sexual sins are there that causes us to lose kingdom inheritance. And God, in Romans 1, is clear. When we look at the sexual sins and all, God will forget about the people who are involved in it. So in many ways, yeah, God's judgment is also very clear when we don't follow his design, when we don't follow his word. Yeah? So the key question to ask ourselves is this. The Bible is very concise. It's very accurate. It's very clear on sexual sin. Why the conflict? Yeah. Now, the conflicts have gone quite substantially. If you look at some of the very traditional churches, yeah, I don't know how many of us have read articles, newspapers, or even looked at things. The very, very traditional churches, they have accepted gay. They have accepted lesbians. They've agreed to gay-lesbian marriage. They've also accepted gay and lesbian pastors, you know. So it has gone a very different direction. Churches, they have accepted and they have ingrained into the way of their life as churches. So why the conflict? So I think when I was preparing this, one of the key things the Lord gave me was this word, individuality. Now, we all agree that normally the doctrine of the world is against what God says. It is also said very clearly in the Bible that the knowledge of the world, the wisdom of the world, is filthy rags to the Lord. Yeah. So, individuality. So, if you look at individuality, if you look at things that is happening around us, forget for a while about the sexual sins, forget about the LGBTQ and all those things. Just look at things that's happening around us today. A lot and a lot more pressure comes upon us on defining who I am. It's very critical in our lifestyle that we are define who I am. One. Two, define how I feel about myself. My individual right above everything else. Yeah, it's very prominent in the Western world. It's slowly coming into Asian worlds. We cannot say it's not coming when you talk about individuality and individual expressionism. Now, let me give you a little bit of an illustration what it means by all this. See, for instance, when we were maybe 20, 30 years ago, when we started work, right, we are taught a lot about team dynamics, how to bring the team together, you know, how to lift the team up and all. So if you look at now, it's no different. You'll still talk about team dynamics, this and that. But if you layer out and you look at it like a piece of, like onion you slice, you look at layer by layer, there is still a lot of push on what's your individuality in the team dynamics, number one. Sometimes it ended up as race, where I must be better than the other guy. I must have something more than the other guy. I must have a bigger house, bigger car, this and that. So if I take it that to the relationship side, right? When we talk about marriages, sometimes we say the wife is my soulmate. Yeah, the husband is my soulmate. But a few years down the road, irreconcilable differences and bye-bye. Yeah? Because we forget in marriage, there is a third person in the marriage, God. So we take out God, it's about individualism. If we talk about friendship, we talk about mutual benefit. What can he do for me? What can I do for him? That's now the measure of friendship. Yeah, you have different ways of defining friendship. When it used to be so simple, I'm here for you, you're here for me. Instead of now, it's about what you can do for me, what I can do for you. Even if you go to churches, yeah, my wife Deborah's uncles, three of them are actually pastors. Two of them are actually pastors. And one of them, when we were having a conversation, if you go to, for instance, in some of the Oceania countries, Australia, yeah, there are churches, if you go, you don't know whether it's a church anymore because it's all about feel-good messages. It's about, you know, going for a business uplifting kind of this one. It's gone into consumerism instead of actually speaking the word of God. That's why one of the reasons ENC is amazing. It's because we still speak the word of God and we still share the wrath of God, the goodness of God, God as a whole. We don't just take the good part and keep sharing it as consumerism. And that's what's happening in some churches, even in churches, right? Even in homes, even in schools, we are taught about us first, right? Then only the rest. So that is literally what is happening around us. So is this individuality good, bad? Does it help us? Does it not help us? What does it actually do? So what's the real hidden agenda in individuality? There are a few things I think is worthwhile to look at, yeah? Now, when we talk about individuality, the tendency is we start looking at ourselves, our needs, how do we fit in, how do we make things move for me, and we start deceiving the truth. Yeah. Example, it's very clear in the Bible, we need to come together as a community of believers and share bread, fellowship, pray, worship. You also hear people say, okay, after the pandemic, I don't want to come to church anymore. So the reason is, what I get from you know, audio visual on YouTube, these are good enough for me. Yes, they feed you, but there is another element of fellowship that Christ called. So again, we looked at how the truth fits me. Now, we also deceive with an answer. So more or less, right, when things don't go our way, we start rationalizing it to make it go our way. Now, even the simplest thing in this, for instance, we decided to spend on something that is very expensive on ourselves, right? After we buy, we feel regret. We start creating a lot of, you know, logical answers why we should spend. So imagine if this taken to the next level on some of these topics that we are discussing today. Yeah, we also deceive from God's design. Yeah, a simple one. This is Old Testament, this is New Testament. Yeah, this is what God said, because at that point of historical time, there were boys that were slaves that were used as sexual slaves. So it doesn't apply now because we don't have sexual slaves. You know, people justify that way. Deceive from the true meaning of love, right? God is love. John taught us very clearly in the Bible. But today, when we talk about love, more or less, we forgot to talk about God in love, right? And that's why you hear a lot of stories, irreconcilable differences. Yeah. So why we got to be careful? Yeah. Now, for me, this individuality in many ways, when I was preparing this, what God put in my heart is beware of the scheme of the devil. Yeah. Now, why we got to be aware of the scheme of the devil is this. If you look at 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, the devil prowls like a lion, waiting for the next victim he can nap on. Yeah, he's just waiting to grab the next one. So if you are weak, if you are not able to withstand, he is ready to grab us. If you look at John 8:44, Christ was so powerful, this Bible verse, the way he accused the devil. He is the murderer, he is the liar, and he is the father of lies. So give it a little bit of a thought. When we look at the Word of God, right, and we look at individuality, how much does individuality take us to God? How much it pulls us away from God? Yeah. So we put a lot of priority on individuality, how we express ourselves. The whole LGBTQ, if you look at it, it's about feelings. It's about emotional feelings. It's about how I feel, how my spiritual, you know, he or her, this and that. So it's all about my individual expressionalism. It's never about what God wants me to be in many ways. So when we look at this, right, even in, there's so many Bible verses that clearly state that the devil will find mace and thin to scheme. Even if you look at 2 Corinthians 11:13 to 14, it says, and no wonder, even Satan disguises himself as angel of light. So what may be true on worldly terms may not necessarily fit into God's decision, God's rule, God's law, God's direction. Yeah. Now, Genesis 3:1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty. And the serpent here is in reference to the devil. Yeah. Even the best way to look at how to resist the devil, always go back to how Christ was tempted. He used the word of God to refute the devil every step of the way. So friends, I just want to put a little bit of thought into us today. Individuality. The way we are expressing our individuality. One very important question. Is it helping us or is it eroding our identity? Now, when we look at the sexual sins and all these things, right? And you look at the definition of what's taking place in the whole sexual arena or sexual context, in many ways, is the erosion of our true identity. Yeah. Now, we may ask, what is our true identity? Why eroding our true identity fulfills what the devil wants? Yeah? So let me share with you this slide. I ask myself who we are every day. And one of the things that came to me when even this series was shared in the Klang Valley Every Nation Churches is the first one. I am a child of God. The easiest erosion to do in our lives, our identity, is I am a child of God. So if you look at the Bible verses, there's many that makes it very, very clear who am I. So if you look at John 1:12, it clearly says, but to all who did receive him, did receive Jesus, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So, you know, when we look at this is what I want, this is what I am, this is all about, we can say, you know, it's still the true identity of being a child of God is gone because we don't believe in Christ anymore. So it's a battle of faith. It's a battle of our souls belong to whom? Yeah. Number two, I am without fear. Yeah. Now, if you look at Romans 8:15, it says, we did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we have received the spirits of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We are a child of God, and we have no fear in us. Yeah? Look at the group. Some are still living in closet. They call it closet, this one. There's still a lot of persecution. There's still a lot of ambiguity. There's still a lot of difficulties. You know, it's not, the fear is there. Why? Because it's not to God's design. It's not to what God wants. If you look at, I am consecrated for God. Yeah, we are called to be his image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So we are designed and we are called to work as how Christ has worked. This is in Romans 8:29. Jeremiah 1:4-5. We like to quote this in a lot of sharings, in a lot of sermons. He designed us from a purpose, from this one. We have a purpose, and we are consecrated for him. You know, we are called to be his stewards. That's clear in Peter, Colossians, and Corinthians. So when we are his steward, we are actually called to look after whatever that he has given us, whatever is created, and to be a blessing to others. And when we are looking at individual, it's me and me, myself, the tendency to bless others become lower. If you look at, I am his ambassador, it's very clear we are called to go out and make disciples. And that's what we are here for. And I'm anointed with his gifts. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4:11, you know, when we are his, we are actually anointed. We can speak words of wisdom. We can have miracles, healings. We can pray powerful prayers. We can speak in tongues. We can prophesy. All those gifts are lacking when we don't define who we are, or we don't know who we are, and we define to be individuals or individuality. So for us to have these identities, we got to surrender to God, whether we like it or not. Yeah? It is a complete surrender to God for God to work through us, through his purposes, through his calling, through his design, and through him working in us where he wants to take his plans to. Yeah? And that's how we become anointed and we be able to do God's work. But again, you look at this, surrender, individuality. It's on the two extreme. So when you're on an individuality expression, what it does is it actually puts a wall between us and God, or God forces God to forget about us. That's what it says in Corinthians just now when we were looking at some of the God's judgment. Yeah? So give it a little bit of a thought. LGBTQ. It is actually bigger than that. it's actually the expression of individualism in it that causes it to be taken away from God and puts a big barrier between us and God, because the complete opposite to that is surrender to God. So the challenge today is the worldly knowledge, the worldly wisdom is actually pushing more and more towards individualism. I can assure you this LGBTQ is just one thing. There will be other things that come, yeah, that will force this even more. Yeah? And we will face the challenge that not only us, our children, our children's children, will face this challenge even more prominent. Because when I was the age of 12 years, probably to get information, it takes me a couple of days. Today, at a flick of a finger, they get information. And I don't know how much of us realize they don't watch videos in full. It's all the shots. So the shots are edited in a way to favor the guy who's actually sharing. So it's again individualism. So, you know, it's something for us to think about. So at this point, at this juncture, look, hearing all these four sharing put together, what can we do? We know LGBT, you know, the whole sexual issues and all the LGBTQ, all, you know, men and men relationship, women and women, all sorts of different definition, even spiritual feelings. This is not what God wants. It's clear. And it's also very clear for us to walk on this earth, we need to surrender to God. And for us to enjoy the identity of who we are. So what can we do differently today? I'm actually going to my last slide already. Yeah? I believe the biggest difference we can make is today what I would like to call ministry of love. Yeah. Now, just to quote a few things. If we remember that Jesus forgave our sins and he did not hold anything back. If we decided to hold anything back, I mean, there's no reconciliation for us. He died on the cross. He decided to give his life as pure as it is on the cross for us. Number one. There are other few incidences that I want to talk about. Jesus stooped down for a prostitute. If you remember, it's in John. And he actually did not accuse her, nor did he pick up the first stone to throw at her. When the crowd was trying to see what he does, but he forgave. And he showed the true love of God. So to this group of people, we also have a responsibility, just like Jesus, to show what the true love of God is. I'm sure there will be people coming in from this category of people who acknowledge themselves to there that will walk into our churches. I'm sure there will be. And what do we do? Do we say you are not welcome here? Or do we say welcome and we show the true love of God? When we show the true love of God, it's not about acceptance. It's about showing love. Yeah? We're not accepting their practices, but we're showing what true love is. Now, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, including his betrayer. He didn't say, okay, Judas, go away, I wash the rest. He washed Judas' feet together. So that tells us we need to go down even to that level to bring those who are lost to back to the kingdom of God. Jesus lifted Peter and Paul when they fall, when they fell. In some readings, you'll see that Paul is referred to as a murderer. Yeah? And Peter as someone who actually completely denied the existence of God when he said, I don't know him 3 times. But those are the same people Christ used to build. So the people that are lost today, they need us. They need our love. We need to bring them back. And Jesus showed us true love for his Father and us. And that's the same true love we need to show. My second one, prayer warrior. I was so happy Nate came out to pray, because that's exactly what we need. The prayers for our children. And I was so, so glad that today, what I gave as my second point, God spoke through Nate. Because he prayed in the word for the children. He prayed for protection. prayed for their well-being. He prayed that they have the courage to live through the world. That is exactly what we need to do even more. And James 5, 13 to 18 shares with us, when we pray the prayer of the faithful, it is we are winning the war. Yeah? And prayer is really a weapon of war. So friends, one thing I do want to encourage our worship prayer nights. Please pray for difficult subjects like this. You know, our tendency is we like to pray in places where we are comfortable. We need to start praying in places where we are not comfortable, like topic like this. Yeah. I can share with you, there are a lot of people lost in that equation of who they are. Individuality, yeah, versus surrendering to God. When we put them in the right path, we may have been Ananias who did for Paul. We may have actually birthed out some new prophets, new preachers, new speakers, new miracle workers, because we then give them their identity as the children of God. So this is where I would like to end. Like I said, 30 minutes, there's no way we can define everything. 30 minutes, it's about for us to think about what God wants us to open our hearts to. It's about recognizing there is an issue. It's about understanding there is a problem or there is a challenge around us, the worldly wisdom of individuality versus surrendering to God. So continue to pray. Continue to show love. This group of people really need a lot of prayer and a lot of love, the true love of Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for us to understand your design, your love for us, and your plan for us. Lord, you've also taught us who we are. We are your child. And help us to understand we are your child when we surrender completely to you. Help us to bring your love to the lost sheep of yours, and help them to see your love. Help us to have the courage to pray for the difficult things in your word and to hold on your word true in our lives, for us to be able to make a difference in the lives of many, for many prophets, many miracle workers, many pastors, many of your children are lost. Help us to bring them into the right path to know your true love. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.